We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Well, don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the Mobile Kia Studios in Midtown Atlanta, Willie P is in the building for the vacationing John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and always we're available on the radio.com app, and we're available, well, everywhere. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Monday night. Still in for John while he's taking some well-deserved R&R. We'll be here for the next couple of days and be ready to entertain you at 404-741-0929 on the phones and the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can find me, Willie P, on Twitter, at Willie P Style. That's IEP Style. And, of course, the radio station is at 929 The Game. The weekend was, I think, rather tame until about Sunday night, when all hell broke loose. And then ever since then, it just seems like the news has been layered on and on and on and on. You would think that we actually are having, you know, sports playing outside of the ones that have restarted since the COVID-19 pandemic. We've had a lot of news. We had teams announcing their full pools when it comes to the Major League Baseball summer camp or spring training 2.0, whatever you want to call it. We'll get into that a little bit. We'll also talk about a very historic day in the city of Atlanta, and it's because of one of our sports teams taking a very big step towards something that I think is a very big problem in this city that I've experienced actually firsthand. We'll talk about all the things involving the COVID comeback and the things that have transpired since we last spoke on Friday, but we'll start with Cam Newton, a guy who was in our division, and I know that there's been a lot of Cam talk on our station today and really all over the place, but the thing that makes Cam Newton such a curious case to me is that when you think about a guy who went to high school here, Westlake High School, local product, played inside the conference that has the biggest school in our state for two different schools, basically straddled Georgia's biggest rival and the biggest rival in the SEC West. And oh, by the way, he ended up playing in the division of Atlanta and Georgia's pro football team for the better part of 8 years. And so because of that, you look at his career, he has always kind of been in our focal point. And he probably is the one athlete of any non-Falcon, non-Bulldog, non-Yellow Jacket, probably the one athlete who has not played post-high school for a team inside the state of Georgia that we have an utmost fascination about. He's the kind of personality that draws you in. He's the kind of guy who, when you look at his best moments, you remember why you love him. But, of course, he's been a player that has been defined by a lot of acrimony over the course of the last couple of years. He's not even near the same player, at least on the field, given the stats that he was when he won the MVP in 2015. His last double-digit win season was 2017. He's gone 6-8, 6-8, and then two losses in a pair of games to start 2019 before he went down with a Lisfranc injury. You know the rest. They go to Kyle Allen. That team ends up going in the tank. And they release Cam Newton without any compensation. Now, there had been some clamoring here to possibly bring him in as a backup. They'd been clamoring by a lot of people nationwide to try and bring him in and see what you have left. The Chargers were a team that many believed was a common place that he could have possibly been, because you really don't have a lot of respect for the guy who's the incumbent starter in Tyrod Taylor. Yeah, they drafted a guy in Justin Herbert, but you would think that maybe the chances for Cam Newton having a resurgent season there would have been certainly great. But it was always New England that sat themselves out there like a wild card. And the one thing that New England has is that they have a head coach and a coaching staff that feels like, in a large part, they've kind of gotten the short shrift. We talk a lot about, you know, the chicken and the egg. Who is due more the credit when it comes to a particular player or team's success? I've always leaned on the coach more than the player. Yes, players can, in certain situations, overcome bad coaching. But I've always heard that in the long run, over the course of a long career, no one player has enough talent to overcome a bad situation or bad coaching. I'm not belittling Tom Brady for the 20 years of success he had, the six Super Bowls, the one he stole from us, and all the rest of it. But if you're giving more credit to him than you are Bill Belichick, you don't know much about football. The fact that Tom Brady had one of his statistically worst years of his career and still got his team to the playoffs limping in is a testament to Bill Belichick and his game-planning ability and the organization he's built there in New England. Add in the fact the one year that Brady wasn't there because of injury, the team won 11 games, didn't get to the playoffs because of the quirky rules in the NFL. There was a, you know, if they were under the rules that they had now, they might have actually been in the playoffs. But be that as it may, you think about who the credit goes more to, it's Bill Belichick. And that's why I believe in this move, where a lot of the naysayers might say, you know what, this is just a throwaway move. This is something that's kind of, you know, they're taking a flyer on a guy. Bill Belichick does nothing by accident. He does nothing that he doesn't mean to do forcefully. He does nothing half behind. So when it comes down to him kind of playing possum and saying, well, you know, we really like Jarrett Stidham, and you know, these are the guys we have going into camp with, blah blah blah. Yeah, it was all bluster. It was all bluster. I never believed it for a second. We're going to talk to a guy who knows Bill Belichick very well. He covers him on a daily basis for WBZ TV in Boston, my friend Levin Reed, who I, yeah, anytime anything happens with the Patriots that could ancillarily affect us, I try to get him on, number one, because he's good on radio, and number two, he has a pretty big pulse of sources throughout the entire league, so he can kind of give a little window into how this all came about when it comes to Cam going to the Pats. And it also makes me take a look at where we are in our own division with the Atlanta Falcons. And you think about Carolina in a rebuild, you think about the two win-now scenarios with Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Where are we? What are we trying to do? That is the $64,000 question that I don't think even the people inside Flowery Branch know for sure. I know we want to win. I know we have a plan. I know we did a lot of things this offseason to try and help this team out. But make no mistake about it, we have the most uncertain future of any team in this division. The Panthers ensured their future by getting Teddy Bridgewater. I would say they might have gotten somebody maybe a little bit too good for their hope to try and get Trevor Lawrence in 2020 during the draft. The Saints and the Buccaneers have ensured their future, at least for the immediate part of it. They have two aging quarterbacks, so they're going to try to squeeze the last bit of the orange/lemon and the juice out of them. They like the juice. And because of that, they built their teams accordingly with rampant skill set type players in order to supplement what might be perceived as aging quarterback talent. You think about the move the Saints made in the offseason on both offense and defense. Tampa Bay added basically everywhere except offensive line until they got to the draft, when they basically announced their presence with authority by taking guys who they can try and help protect Tom Brady. I would add parenthetically, they still needed to do more. And yet the Falcons kind of sit here in this little in-between. The fans want to win now. The fans are fed up. But the one thing that New England and the statement they made today is Bill Belichick says, I'm not done. He could have very easily done the same thing that Carolina did and said, you know what? We're going to go into this season with Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. We're going to see what we have. If we get lightning in a bottle, great. Win 9 games, sneak in a wild card, maybe that's okay. Or we just tear it all down and hope to God we get the number one draft pick and get the blonde-locked kid out of Clemson, South Carolina. But no. Bill Belichick does nothing by accident. When Bill Belichick makes a move, people listen, people pay attention. That's why the Cam Newton move is so big today. There probably isn't another move outside of a team signing Colin Kaepernick that could have made a bigger wave during the NFL offseason. Now, the fact that it took until the 29th of June for it to take place tells you how much New England kind of rested on their laurels, did their due diligence. I know the fact that they could not make things happen because of the coronavirus pandemic and not getting him a physical. Make no mistake about it. They've wanted to do this for quite a while. They were just kind of waiting for all the ducks to fall into a row. And number two, it is no coincidence that on the same night, some somewhat unsettling news, I would say news that would make people kind of look at the NFL and say, you're still protecting the Patriots, aren't you? Interesting. Same night that that news comes out, 29 minutes later, Cam Newton says, oh yeah, by the way, I'm joining up with BB and Robert Kraft. See you in Foxborough. It's no coincidence. I had somebody who was a good friend of mine say today, how long is the NFL going to keep running cover for this franchise? Especially when you think about the somewhat lenient penalty, the surrender of a draft pick they're probably going to get back if Cam Newton only spends 1 year and they get a compensatory choice out of the deal. Make no mistake about it. The NFL, as a business, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily a fixed thing, but the NFL as a business flourishes when the Patriots are good. Bill Belichick was not going to go away. And I say this as somebody who absolutely, I don't like using the word hate on the radio, but I hate the Patriots. With every fiber of my being, every time I see that wrinkly old coach in the hoodie with the cut-off sleeves, my eyes boil with fire. But you got to respect the hustle. And it's in the NFL's best interest for the Patriots to be good, because the Patriots bring controversy, eyeballs, and money. You always want to follow where the money is. It might not be a lot of it going to Cam Newton. I know the jokes people are making about, you know, Chase Daniels making more money than Jameis Winston and Cam Newton combined. Make no mistake about it. It's not about the deal that Cam Newton makes this year. It's for the one he might make next year, because I think he's leading the New England Patriots to the postseason. 404-741-0929 is how you can touch with me, Willie P, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and also at Willie P Style on Twitter. That's how you enjoy the show here. We're going to talk again to Levin Reed about a half hour from right now. He is from WBZ in Boston. About an hour and 7 minutes from now, we're going to talk some Georgia football with DJ Shockley. He also, of course, former Atlanta Falcon quarterback, so I'll ask him about where he thinks Cam Newton's game is. But he's had a chance to talk to both of the new quarterbacks for the Georgia Bulldogs who have transferred in this offseason, JT Daniels, as well as Jamie Newman. And I'll get his impressions on what he thinks about the two new signal callers inside Athens. We'll talk Braves and a historic day, spurred on by one of our franchises, to make earth-shattering, positive, progressive change in our city, in our state. Willie P. in for John Chuckery. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Monday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and always available via the radio.com app on your smart speakers and smartphones. Willie P. is in a building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, in for the vacationing John Chuckery. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Monday evening, and also happy to have back in the saddle Jarvis Davis producing inside of our Midtown Atlanta studios high atop Colony Square. You said, my friend, one of the funniest darn things I've heard in my life in my ear during the last break, and it reinforced to me that you and I have the same taste in women, because you and I both came to the same conclusion after what I said about Bill Belichick, in saying that, you know, Bill Belichick, when I said he doesn't do things by mistake, every decision he makes has a procedure to it. He's the kind of guy who would stand in a Target and look at two different pairs of socks for 20 minutes, debating the merits about each before actually selecting one or neither.
Yeah, man. Like, for me, and I said in response to that, my wife is the type of person that just, she plans out when she goes to the bathroom. she knows, because after almost, 11 years of being together, mm-hmm. I've never seen my wife do number two. Never. I've never done that. Ever.
Never.
Ever. So, for somebody,
there are a lot of people who try to hide that.
Yeah, I don't hide it at all. Like, she knows every time I'm about to get ready to do the do, you know, because Julian, like, hey.
Julian and I have a code word.
I have a code word? What's the code word?
We have a code word for I need to go number two.
Yeah.
I don't like saying that word.
Like, the door is open and you'll smell it. That's how you know I'm going.
You know what I say? I say, babe, go get a Starbucks.
Wow.
We'll get a Starbucks. We'll get a Starbucks, come back. And by the time I'll come back, the entire place will be sanitized.
So coffee has a whole different meaning in your household. That's what you're saying.
You best believe it. Wow. There are some people who have tried to play the ruse of saying that women don't actually do that. Like, anatomically, like, that's not something that they do. Like, oh, we don't do that. Girls aren't wired that way. We all know that that's not correct.
Yes, no doubt.
There is actually another story involving that we'll get to later on in the kicker, but that's way, way later on tonight. As we said earlier, we'll talk more about the Cam signing with Levin Reed of WBZ-TV in Boston. He will join us on the WaitForIt.com hotline later. Also, we will get to a very historic day in the city of Atlanta. That's all inside. What's happening?
Peter, what?
What?
What's happening?
The only reason I want to start again with the Cam is because I want to play you the comments of a guy who hosts on radio in Boston. I know that there are times where, you know, we only know what we know. As somebody who has traveled this great country, I've developed some anti-biases towards certain cities. I can't really stand the city of Dallas. For whatever reason, it's just bad association, girls, the people, the hair, the cowboys, can't stand it. I have an aversion to the entire state of California. And I'm not too necessarily crazy about the Northwest, but I grew up as somebody who just cannot stand the city of Boston. Like, I don't like the people. I don't like their accents. I hadn't even visited Boston for the first time in my life until about a couple of summers ago. And while the city itself isn't bad, I went to Fenway, went to the North End, got some nice Italian, a couple of lobster rolls. Tolerable. Went to Cheers, did all the touristy stuff there. Didn't take a duck boat ride. But outside of that, you know, I can kind of take or leave Boston. Like, I don't have to ever go there ever again. But the toad that city, ever since they've won championships, whether it's Boston's baseball team, whether it's the Celtics, the hockey, or the football, they have this holier-than-thou output as if, like, they freaking invented sports. And Christian Fourier, who hosts on our sister station WEEI, was on radio.com earlier today, and he said he believes he has an idea of what the Pats' plan will be with Cam.
They know his history, so they're going to teach him to get rid of the ball. They're going to throw it to the back, so they're going to run the hell out of it. The Patriots have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. So you'll see some design runs because they're going to, that's what he does. But they're not going to make a living off of that. That's not the way they're going to win games. But it'll be a nice little wrinkle that they will throw in there that's an element that they've never had. Like, I'm so excited to see it.
You see that little tinge of arrogance? Oh, we're going to teach him the Patriot way. That's like saying, I'm going to get a Ferrari and I'm going to keep it in the garage and just polish it all day and never take it out. I understand that Cam Newton's not the same quarterback he was when he won the MVP in 2015. He's not a 26-year-old cat anymore, but you're telling me that he ain't going to run the football? You think the thing that makes Bill Belichick is he molds his game plan to his personnel. Cam Newton's not going to sit back there and just hand the football off. Cam's going to try and run now. He might not be running, you know, for 1,000 yards, but you best believe there's going to be some of that option look. There's going to be some of that read option stuff. And you think about why. Because who are the teams that have beaten the Patriots in the last couple of years? These read option teams. These teams that have dual threats at quarterback, including Lamar Jackson. So because of that, you mean to tell me that Bill Belichick's going to be, you know, okay, we're going to, you know, run double tight and hand the ball off to James White. Uh-uh. And here's the other thing that I did not like is that there's this just this negative perception about Cam Newton. I really don't know where and how it started, but Christian Fourier lends some credence to that.
I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan. I think he's kind of dopey when it comes to just whenever he opens his mouth, he just sounds like a dope. I don't think, you know, and as far as accuracy, he's not very accurate. And I question his leadership abilities. So, but that's me, looking from afar. Now, will he change and will he be a different person? I guarantee you he will. I guarantee you will. Because the Patriots just do a better job of, especially for the older players, listen, we're going to allow you to be yourself, but with some rules and regulations.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Jarvis. Has Cam Newton ever really kind of stepped out of school and done anything what I would consider to be legally or ethically wrong?
No.
Okay. Like, why is making Cam Newton sound like he's a character risk? Like, I'm sorry. What has Cam Newton ever done other than dress with fancy clothes at a press conference? What is that considered a character risk? This is why people say things about the city of Boston in a negative fashion. Because that's like, I'm sorry, that doesn't sound right. And Christian, I mean, we have mutual friends and everything like that. And it's, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Christian, but like, man. where is this Cam Newton slander coming from? I have no idea. I think he's going to do great. And like I said, I think part of the reason is because Bill Belichick doesn't do anything on accident. The city of Atlanta got better today. Steve Koonin, president of the Atlanta Hawks, announced on our air today that State Farm Arena is going to become a polling place for early voting for the Georgia general primary runoff election, which takes place August 11th. So for a period of about a month, State Farm Arena will be transformed in multiple facets to become a place where everybody in Fulton County can vote. Here is Steve on with Dukes and Bell earlier today.
State Farm Arena will now be a polling place. We're calling it Election Central for Fulton County. So starting on July 20th with the early voting for the runoff, you can come to the building and safely and social distantly, if there was such a word, vote. And then we will also be the destination for all mail-in voting. You guys have been on our practice court inside our building.
Yes.
And that practice court, we're turning it over along with the media entrance and the media dining room to the election people, and that's where they'll be counting all the votes that are mailed in. And then 3 weeks prior to the election, we will be open for early voting for the big November election, and we anticipate tens of thousands of people to be able to come into our building to vote comfortably, safely, and quickly. Mm.
I don't want to turn this into a political thing or a social distance thing when it comes to, or a social issues thing. The problem is not enough people Not enough people got a chance to vote last time we had an open election. I was one of them. I live here in Midtown. My polling place got changed twice. And not only that, but I didn't get a notification until I went online to check my polling place myself. I didn't get the written notification until 2 days after the election had taken place. And the place where I was supposed to vote had a wait of 5 hours for a primary. No, thank you. This is a fantastic thing. Voter suppression is real, folks. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. But this is a good thing. And many people who probably got screwed out of the last opportunity to vote a couple of weeks ago are going to have that opportunity come July 20th. And that's what Steve Koonin's hoping for.
There has been issues with voting in Fulton County, significant issues. And we've believed that by creating a place that everybody knows, the parking will be available at no charge. The MARTA will now open its station for it. You know, an arena done well is town hall or the public square for the city. You can live in Milton or you can live in South Atlanta. As long as you're a registered Fulton County voter, you can come in and vote in a very easy, and again, you know, I don't know where you vote, but if you're voting in a library or a school, there's not a whole lot of space. There's not a whole lot of room to be safe. The one thing we have is a tremendous amount of space, and we're going to take that space and use it to get more people to vote so we can create change in this market.
Great stuff from Steve Koonin. And again, more on that is on our website at 929thegame.com. The entire interview is also posted there. You can get it via the radio.com app. People are bringing up the laptop incident, Jarvis, from his time in Florida when it comes to Cam Newton. That was literally 11, 12, 13 years ago. Like, I'm talking about since he's become a professional. Like, he's not a character risk because he stole a laptop in Florida in college. Okay? That's not what people are talking about. That's come on. Give me something that's happened actually in this decade as a reason why you wouldn't want to sign him other than health. Which, again, if that's your reasoning, I could see that and I can consider it. But like I said, Bill Belichick doesn't do anything by accident. When it comes to Major League Baseball, there have been some developments when it comes to a schedule being released. J.P. Morosi of Fox Sports says, blame the Rona.
The reason for the delay, it appears, is because there still have to be some allocations for the possibility of games moving around if COVID-19 is deemed to be out of control in particular areas of the country. And, of course, with a season that begins about a month from now, a lot can change in a month's time.
Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross of the Washington Nationals, some of the first notable people to opt out of the 2020 season. Also, Mike Leake of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Alex Anthopoulos, when he spoke with the media last week, says he does not envision any Braves to opt out, which is good news for Atlanta. They report on Wednesday. I held this story back from Friday for reasons that I just kind of wanted to hear more. I knew we were going to have the head coach on with Sam and Greg, but I also wanted to get Jarvis Davis's perspective on it. Morehouse is not going to have fall sports, including football. Their head coach, Rich Freeman, was on with Sam and Greg this weekend to explain why.
As long as all of us can remember, football season has pretty much been like, for all this to come about, just being able to get settled into the new reality, you know, it came as a shock. You know, now we're faced with it. Now we know without a doubt that we won't be having a season this year.
This is something that is a very difficult issue to talk about because of what football means to us in a country, but the culture at Morehouse and at all the HBCUs, you know, football takes on a higher meaning. And I know, Jarvis, you played at an HBCU. Morehouse was in your conference. This is tough stuff for them. But like we were talking about before the show, it might be something where, from a liability standpoint, from a safety standpoint, they might actually be saving money by not having a season as opposed to risking what might be liability on the back end.
Yeah, like I said, it's almost like the risk, is it worth the reward, you know, because, and a lot of HBCUs, and I went to Albany State University, who plays in the same, in the SIAC, that plays Morehouse, so, and you're talking about, that's one less game that we might not have on our schedule, or we're not going to have on our schedule, so when you think about all of those factors that come into play, you know, like we talked about this before the show, and just like, those budgets aren't beefy like they are in the SEC or the ACC, and a lot of times, the football team carries a lot of the weight of, just like SEC schools carry a lot of the weight for those non-revenue sports. And that's the same case for, you know, a lot of these HBCUs. And when you already are kind of strapped in the first place, making sure that you take, be able to take care of your football team, any excess, that goes to those non-revenue sports. So when you have that main sport not coming into play, it's just tough, man. And my whole thing is that, all right, a prominent school like Morehouse not having fall sports, okay, what school is next? That's what I start to think.
Yeah, and that's the part of it that is very difficult. And, you know, I struggle with this because I think we all know the reasons behind holding athletics in the fall are mostly monetarily based. And that's the part of it, and I'm not the only one to say that on this radio station, so it's not necessarily a hot take. But the fact of the matter is that there has to be a point where the safety of the student athletes, they're going to honor the scholarships, that has to be more paramount than the ability for you to have to hold football. And I know, again, football means a lot to all of us, but this might be something that we see a lot more of. And I don't want to say I applaud Morehouse making the decision, but I'll say I feel what you guys are having to go through, and I know it did not come easily. We'll talk a little bit more about the biggest free agent signing, at least of this month, and possible change of the guard in the AFC East with Levin Reed, who joins us from WBZ in Boston. Why is Cam a New England Patriot? We answer that question next. Willie P. in for John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. We'll talk next on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Good friend of mine, Levin Reed, who covers the Patriots for WBZ TV in Boston. Cam Newton's probably the most significant Atlanta athlete who has not played college or pro in the state of Georgia, and he's going to the New England Patriots. He's out of our division, which I know a lot of Panther fans are not necessarily sad about because he didn't have a lot of success against us lately. But Levin, as I bring you in, you and I both know the way Bill Belichick makes decisions. He does nothing by accident. How surprised are you about this move?
Not as surprised as a lot of people probably are, mainly because Bill checked in with Cam before free agency started and wanted to know about his injury. But at the same time, the camps weren't open. And because of COVID, nobody could do any medical. So he probably didn't know how far along Cam was in his medical situation. And once the camps did open, I know Cam made it a way up here so that Bill can get a check on him and see how things go. And also, one thing that we were all very sure about was they were looking to change the offense. They were one of the few, you know, groups that went after Lamar Jackson when Lamar Jackson was coming out of the draft. And they looked at Lamar real hard. And then, obviously, Lamar went to the Baltimore Ravens. But they were looking to change their offense. And maybe, you know, bringing in Jared Stidham, he was a little bit more mobile. And if you remember before that, Jimmy Garoppolo was more mobile. Why not bring in a guy who's extremely mobile, but at the same time, you can protect you. You have a better offensive line. You probably have a little better of a system. And immediately Cam jumps in, and you know, it's, as long as he's healthy, he definitely should be the starter. He jumps in with a bunch of running backs. He has maybe Julian Edelman, outside of, you know, maybe Steve Smith, is maybe the best wide receiver he's going to ever play with, and he jumps in with a coach that's got a good pedigree.
Levin Reed joining us, who covers the Patriots, WBZ TV, CBS up in Boston. So you're thinking that Bill will meld his particular system to Cam's skill set as opposed to the other way around?
I think that the Patriots do that anyway. I don't think that's ever been anything else. They did that with Jacoby Brissett when he was here for the time that he had to play. But, I mean, if there's anything the Patriots do, they don't force you to fall into their style. They kind of just work with what they could get the best out of you to do what you can do. In fact, I think they actually tell guys, listen, this is what you're good at that's going to fit us, and this other stuff we don't really need, so just do this. If you remember when they signed Chris Long, and Chris Long wanted to play on the left side, but they had Trey Flowers, and they were like, well, Trey Flowers is better than you on the left side, so you have to play on the right side. And, you know, for that one season, he played on the right side. They won a Super Bowl, and then what did he do? He wrote a note saying, I loved it here, but at the same time, I need to do what I like to do, and that is to be a pass rusher on the left side. So he left. It's not about melding. especially at the quarterback position. I just think they just need Cam to do what they need him to do. I don't know if he's at the point in his career where he's going to be a scramble monster, and they probably don't want him to be that. I mean, I think the playbook will be kind of, you know, maybe you roll out of the pocket and they throw it, but we're not looking for you because the league is set up for a quarterback to play to a 55 or 60 now.
Talking with Levin Reed, WBZ TV in Boston, covering the Patriots. I know that without having the advance notice of how he's going to do, this is an impossible question to answer, but is this a one-year move? Is this a lightning in a bottle move, or does he see this as the future of the Patriots?
I don't know, and I will say this to you, because suppose it all depends on what Cam wants to do. You know what the Lou reminds me of? And I'll tell you, it reminds me of, I was thinking about it, back in the day, if anyone can remember, the Jets had Glenn Foley as their starting quarterback. But they brought in Vinny Testaverde, who won a Super Bowl, who won a Heisman Trophy winner and a national championship out of college, and he was the number one pick. They brought him in as a backup. And then Glenn Foley messed up the first two games. Vinny Testaverde ended up leading the Jets to the AFC Championship game. And then you remember the next season, the Jets were the favorite, and then Vinny tore his Achilles in that first game. But mm-hmm. Vinny signed a bigger contract. So now, let's fast forward to now. Cam, I think, is going to be 32. If you're talking about, he's right there where he can be, where he can sign if he wanted to after this is done. If he wants to stay there and he does a great job and he wants to stay with the Patriots, a full-year $90 million deal is not out of the question. But if he doesn't want to and wants to sign a bigger deal to go someplace else, he can. It just depends on how he plays. And if you want to talk about the three most motivated players in the NFL or personnel, Belichick, Cam, and Tom Brady. Well, Belichick and Cam are together now.
You know, Levin, I've never thought this way. I've always thought that Cam had a positive perception about him. You ask anybody who's played with him in Carolina, they would tell you glowing things about him. But over the last couple of years, there's been some negative, I don't want to say negative press, but just some negative feelings about him. Maybe the flamboyance, the press conferences, body language on the field, and some of the things that are thrown out there. I don't believe that. Do you think that that's something that's a problem issue with folks who might be in the Patriot locker room?
I doubt it, because I can tell you this. I saw the minute they signed him, you would have thought they signed Jim Brown. People were losing their minds. I mean, as players, you know, they're vocal enough, but, you know, Stephon Gilmore, who doesn't put two words together, was the first one to, you know, open arms emojis, and then James White with the eye emojis, and the McCourty twins with this emojis, and Julian Edelman, you know, they were, you know, with these emojis, and Elijah Wynn with another emoji. I mean, guys were extremely happy about it. And listen, when he walked into that quarterback room, it's Cam Newton. I mean, he brings a presence because he's huge, and he understands what he's doing, and he's outspoken. Say Jarrett Stidham is as good as Jarrett Stidham can be. He still hasn't faced defenses in the NFL where Cam has. And now Cam has got a motivated Cam who you saw Carolina let him go as if he'd never played there before. They shut the door on him so quickly. Now you put him with a coach who can say, hey, you know what? You don't even have to be here next year, but do your best this year. Do your best this year to garner that cash. And then we'll worry about stuff later. Well, that's what it is. Let's garner that cash. Let's do our best this year to garner that cash for you, Cam. And if you want to stay here, maybe we'll work about it. If you want to stay at the road, then do your thing. But this is the best opportunity you'll have.
So you're telling me that there's no, unless health is an impediment, there's no way Cam Newton's not the first guy out there if we have games in September.
I will tell you this. If Cam Newton gets beat out by Jarrett Stidham, he's going to look to get, then they have to trade him. Or they have to let him go. They have to cut him. I will tell you that. I mean, there's no way Cam, who said he wants to be a starter in this league and everybody dried up and didn't talk to him, if he gets beat out by Jarrett Stidham, then they have to cut him. They have to cut him and they have to let him go. If it looks like, you know, whatever preseason or whatever we're going to call the last preseason game, if it looks like that Cam's not going to be the starter, then they will release Cam and let him find a job someplace else, because it wouldn't make any sense to keep him there.
So you got to hold down my guy, because I know you're a big friend of his, Christian Fourier. He was calling Cam dopey. I played the clip earlier. Again, that was kind of something where I was just like, I know that, again, there's some perception of him that people just don't happen to like him and like his antics. I'm like you. I think that this is something that's going to be embraced. And like you said, you know, New England roots for a winner. They get behind a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, listen, Cam, maybe when they were losing and you have antics, and you go out there in different outfits and everything, it doesn't play well to the people in the public. But you know as well as I do, when you're winning and you're that, you're colorful and you're flamboyant and everybody loves it. Everybody has a good time with it. But when you're losing, all of a sudden it becomes a negative connotation. And so let's just hope he wins, because Cam was doing the same thing when the team was 15-1 and he was the MVP, and nobody thought anything bad about Cam at all. So I don't think, I just think it deals with whether you're winning or losing. I really do. I think it would be the same thing with Patrick Mahomes if they started to lose, and he, you know, then and people would not think that his, you know, his voice was so cute to you as it was, you know, they would be like, you know, speak up or something like that. I just think it's about the look or how things go. It's just about winning. And I think in an environment where he can win in the AFC East. They've given you an extra playoff team. You can make it and then make a run on things. It's a good thing. And I will tell you this also. There are a lot of players privately on the Patriots who are like, no one thought we could win without Tom Brady. This is the push. So now you bring in Belichick, who has that thought. You bring in Cam, who's motivated, and a whole bunch of players who all they thought was, wow, the Cam, the Patriots were the Tom train. They're motivated. And let's not forget, Brady and all of this COVID stuff, Brady's the only one we're seeing with like a drone above his practices.
Right.
Okay, like, you know, we're open practice in Tampa, Florida, where they, you know, there's 12,000 cases every other day. So let's not forget that. It's like the girlfriend left, and oh, by the way, let me show you on Instagram what I'm doing. And I think everybody in New England is pushing for Cam to do well.
Is Buffalo the favorite in the East, or do you think this makes the Patriots the favorite?
I think because of the situation we're in, where you don't have training camps, I will go with the more experienced coaches, and that's why I think the Patriots are the favorite. I think coaching is going to play a big part this year and how to get teams ready, because I think it's hard to, if you don't trust the coach, or the coach doesn't trust what he's doing, and he doesn't bring out the idea that this is what we're doing, this is how it's done, and we'll win this way, it's going to be difficult. There was a shortened season in 2011. That was the strike shortened season. They didn't have training camps or anything like that. And the Pats were able to make it to the Super Bowl, and they shortened everything. They literally shortened everything. That was the year they went to the Super Bowl with possibly the worst defense in the history of a Super Bowl team, but they just decided that this is where we're going to cut corners, and it was able to get them as far as they wanted to go. I think they're in that same situation now.
Levin Reed, WBZ in Boston. I'm going to DoorDash you a stale tuna sandwich for bringing up 97.98.
Thank you very much. It's okay, man. It's okay. I get you, baby. I get you.
That's Levin Reed joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's funny. But yeah, no, does that not kind of fortify what I was saying earlier? Like, they're going to build this team around Cam, at least for now. They say, hey, you know, we're building Cam. We want this to be our offense now. We don't want to make Cam. We don't want to turn Cam into a turnaround and hand the ball off quarterback. This is going to be some run option concepts that are force fed in New England. 404-741-0929. An NFL ground and pound is next, including the NFLPA director who's talking about Tom Brady. He's got Tom Brady in his mouth. You'll hear why when we come back. Willie P in for John Chuckery. Hope you're enjoying yourself on a Monday evening. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.